show set.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. You know, things are rocking and rolling. Yeah, it's crazy around the pipe shop, and we've been, booming with lots of mail orders recently. That side of our business is really growing, and working on some new blends. That's been fun. We're kind of getting close to finalizing a couple of neat things, and yeah, dude.
Wait, hang on. You're getting close?
We're getting close.
Finalizing a couple of neat things. It's October 11th. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. I'm just putting some pieces together.
You just want to make sure you got that in your little black book or your Rolodex or whatever. Just make sure the microphone was on, the recording was going when I said that.
Well, no, I'm just putting the pieces together, man. We got the holiday season coming up. We're in the kitchen.
You draw from it what you will, but you know, I reserve the right to just blow up any inferences that you're making.
No, this is pure speculation. Yeah, do not misunderstand. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you schmuck. What's going on with you, dude?
Oh, dude, I am doing very well. Actually, I just got back into town. I went for a recording retreat a couple of days ago with some friends and some brothers.
Yeah.
And man, we were enjoying some excellent pipe tobacco from the Country Squire. And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, dude. And also, I was rocking my Country Squire ring, which is... Dude, all right, I got to talk about this real quick. So we announced it last week, the Country Squire ring, Retro Radio ring. And it's a gorgeous ring. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's very handsome. Like you know, and like I've mentioned before, I've worn a ring on my right hand in the past, this family ring. And I got to tell you, like, you know, which it's a beautiful heirloom. I enjoy wearing it. It's very fancy from that standpoint. It's got kind of that, you know, if I could kind of make the comparison to, like, you know, mobsters, how they've got their kind of rings, you know, that's kind of what the family ring is to some extent. It's a little on that kind of shiny side. Dude, the Country Squire ring is a handsome ring, man.
It's a well done, more, it just has a masculine feel to it. I appreciate it for that reason. Yeah,
absolutely. It's got a good heft to it.
It does. It's a weighty, substantial piece of jewelry, and it's something that I think even the more subdued gentleman who you know, isn't maybe necessarily used to wearing things like that might enjoy. So and it comes from just a great artisan and his workshop, and you can tell a lot of care went into it. So man, really proud of him. Really proud to wear it, and so thankful for him. I know everyone's going to be really, really pleased with him who orders them.
Yeah, absolutely. Super comfortable too. I've been wearing it like this, like entire last past week. And, you know, it's just kind of become a normal thing. I take it off when I like go for a run or when I sleep. So it's not like a wedding band or anything like that, but it's a good looking ring. So we're really proud of it. We have, got the data this morning, got the notes this morning that those things are flying off the shelves. And again, this is going to be a limited series run. So if you want your Country Squire ring, you can head over to sylvanforgecreations.com and go ahead and get your order in. There are only 50 of these things. So, and not that many anymore. So please head over there and make sure you get your ring while supplies last, but really proud of this thing. Mimo Breyer too. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more next week.
But. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's right. It's cool. It's a pipe smoker's ring. It's a Country Squire Radio ring. It's something neat. We're proud of it. So.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, before we get started, we got a lot of fun things to talk about, man. Yeah. We've got some new club members, but there's something I want to make mention of real quick. Y'all, you know, if you've been listening to this show for quite some time, you may occasionally hear us reference our editor, Mike, who is very diligent behind the scenes, making sure that we sound good, you know, making sure that you're hearing a good
guy's coherent. Got his work cut out for him, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It really does. If you knew how many sorry mics that get cut from the audio that we sent to him, but he does a great job for us. Man, he had some family tragedy this week with his father passing away, and I just want to make mention of him. Just keep him in your thoughts and your prayers. He's, like I said, he is behind the scenes. You hear his efforts every single week without knowing about it. And so just want to. Yeah. Want to give kind of some thoughts to Mike and
I appreciate Bo mentioning that. Mike, you know, since he's come on board as our you know, kind of producer and editor for the past several years has just done an outstanding job. And this show really is, it's his work as much as it is ours, you know. He's a part of the family and a part of the crew, and it just wouldn't happen without his expertise and creativity and all that. And so, anyway, we love you, Mike. We're really just sorry about your father, and we wish you the best, brother. We're here with you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, hey, like I mentioned, we've got some new club members joining and supporting the show. So we got the Country Squire Radio Patreon page, which is patreon.com/countrysquireradio, where folks from all over the world have joined to help make this show happen. We've got quite a few new members to give some major shout-outs
to. We do, man. This is awesome. I don't know if we've had this many new signees in quite a while. It's great.
It's been a minute all at once, to be sure, man. All right, so first off, joining at the Squire level, it is Adam Dumbledore. So I got to imagine that he is related to the legendary headmaster of Hogwarts. Adam, you got the hookup, man.
You're such an idiot.
That's not what it says.
Adam Dunbar, man. Adam, you're just a great sport. Thank you for supporting our show, man. We really appreciate you hopping in there at the Squire level.
Man, and at a Pilgrim level, we've got, and of course, you've heard of Mjolnir. That is the hammer of Thor. Well, we've got Mike Fjolmir, who is the not hammer of Thor.
You didn't even say his first name right.
I said Mark.
You said Mark Mike. Fjolmir. You said Mike.
Oh, did I say Mike? I'm sorry.
You said Mike.
I worked Mark. So hard to get the last name wrong. I ended up accidentally messing up the first name.
you just have so many ailments. Mark Fjolmir, man. Thanks for hopping on at the Pilgrim level.
Also at the Pilgrim level, Matthew Keller, related to Timothy Keller?
Maybe. Or Helen, you know? I mean, there's other famous Kellers, yeah.
Helen's less famous great nephew.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, that's Matthew. Timothy Keller, but this is Matthew Keller. So there you go. I'm sorry. All right. We also got a patrons, man. We got some new patrons as well with Randy Berger and Dennis Mack. Thank y'all so much for your support of the show. And again, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio where you can keep the show going every single week without fail. And you too can have your name butchered by me, which is, it's not a perk. All right. So
it's a privilege, Bo. It is a privilege.
You know what? I like that. It's not a perk. It's a privilege. There you go. All right. So guys, we have got a great show for you. If you can't tell by the energy that you're coming into here at the top of the show, it's a Squire Select, baby. Yeah. All right. We have got.
Why do I get more up for that? You know, I'm just so excited.
Yeah. It's great. There's just something about the Squire Selects. Now, for new listeners, this is where we take some kind of beverage generally, which is also generally some kind of whiskey and certainly is today. And we pair that with some pipe tobacco. Now, I am super stoked about these two beverages that we're going to be talking about for very different reasons, as you'll find as we dive in here. And, you know, one of the great things that has been a benefit of me, you know, coming over to Houston, Texas, the fourth largest city in America, having access to all kinds of quality food and beverages from all over the planet, is that there is kind of a large offering here of whiskeys that are kind of a little bit harder to find in Mississippi. Now,
y'all get the good stuff. Like over here, you know, in Podunk, we get the kind of normal fare. I mean, you know, occasionally a bottle of Buffalo Trace might show up or something, but man, you get all this exotic stuff. It's really neat.
Now, you say good stuff, and I'm going to challenge
that statement. Okay, exotic stuff. Yeah. Stuff that's maybe hard to find.
Yeah, because I would actually argue, and I don't want to tip the bean can here, but the point is, I would actually make the argument that when you have less of a selection, that means there's more like emphasis on putting a curation on quality stuff. For example, Houston has tons of quality restaurants, but there's also a couple of not great ones in there, but there's so many of them that it can be really difficult to know what to choose. Back home in Jackson, if I want to go to breakfast, I got like two or three places and they're all top notch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're all fine. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Because there's not enough people to have that kind of competition for more than that. So the winner is anybody who's trying to get on top has to be really good to get on top. And so all that to say,
are your grits bad? Just go out of business.
Yeah, exactly.
You have no right to exist.
You're not lasting 2 seconds. No, that's exactly right. But no, so we got some good stuff to dive into here. All right. Let's talk about Belfort first, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you?
I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, this is really exciting because after me just like going off on like, we've got, you know, beverages from all around the world, I start off with the Texas beverage right here. Texas pecan whiskey, baby.
Man, it is Texas pecan whiskey. Belfour, the official name is bourbon whiskey finished with Texas pecan wood. And man, is this an interesting whiskey? Just really got a really handsome kind of presentation, and it's a Texas whiskey. It's something that in the, you know, kind of southern part of the United States have a little easier chance of finding, but my guess is it'll propagate around. So but Bo, what are your first impressions, huh?
Well, before even diving into the flavor, you gotta make mention of kind of where this thing comes from. John David, you're a well renowned and celebrated hockey fan.
Yeah. Because you know, when you think of John David Cole, you think of pro hockey, right?
Well, you know what's wild is when you think of like the South, you don't exactly think of pro hockey. But the fact of the matter is, we got some hockey down here. We do.
Yeah. No, that's true. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, they had a one of the minor league hockey teams, the Jackson Bandits. The only reason I still have a ball cap somewhere from them, and the only reason I ever went to a Bandits game was so I could see those guys fight, because occasionally there would be occasionally, like, you know, someone would really make, you know, a connection with like someone's nose, or, you know, someone's lip would bust open, and like that it'd just be like blood on the eye. It was a disaster.
No,
like,
that is exactly right.
Yeah, as a 12-year-old, you know, boy in Jackson, Mississippi, that's as good as going to the Texaco, man.
Listen, look, growing up in Mississippi, like when they brought the Bandits in, like, hockey is marketed to us as boxing on ice. You know, like, that's the way that we're kind of brought
into
it.
That's how they sold it.
And I mean, like, you know, they got the River Kings in North Mississippi as well. There is hockey in Mississippi besides the Bandits, the short-lived Bandits team.
It's there. Yeah. My alma mater, Mississippi State, has a hockey team, and I hear they're pretty good. You know, I've never been to any games, but I bet those folks are talented and have a lot of fun.
Look, much like the Jamaican bobsled team, Dallas Stars, even though you would not expect them to know anything on what to do with ice here, were 1999 champions. Okay. And so the Dallas Stars, or rather the goalie for the Dallas Stars, was a guy named Eddie the Eagle Belfour. And so that's this whiskey. I know you were like, where on earth is he going with this?
How are we tying this in? I know, right? I thought this was a Squire Select. It's a pipe smoking podcast. We're talking about booze, and now it's the hockey. And who really cares about hockey except people in Minnesota? And like, what is going on here?
Yeah. No, so this is really interesting because we have covered some whiskeys before that have kind of celebrity names behind them.
Yeah.
And there's some that are out there that are like, okay, you know, they clearly got a celebrity to slap his name on the thing, and then it's just, you know, you're paying extra for the name behind it. But that's not the case with Eddie the Eagle. He is a very much a bourbon nerd. His kind of process for going through and finding kind of this particular distillery and working with them to create this very kind of unique bourbon was a process. This was not something just to kind of find something to put his name on. After all, you know, it's not like Eddie the Eagle from the Dallas Stars is like, you know, has the kind of pull in the bourbon world to make major sales. This is somebody who entered into this space and really enjoys it. So we're talking about 60% corn, 30% wheat, 10% malt barley. And, you know, we'll talk about the bottle here in a second, but when you taste it, man, what are some of the flavors that kind of come out to you?
Well, it's just interesting. I do think my first impressions, and by the way, actually, while we're sitting here chatting, I was like, where is this distributed? And it's actually much more widely distributed than I thought. I'm seeing distribution points in Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, the Carolinas, Georgia, the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, the Dakotas, Minnesota. So, I mean, this is around. There's several places in the Northeast, lower New England. So, you know, keep an eye on this. I mean, if this sounds like something that might appeal to you. And of course, there's online shopping as well. But, you know, so this is an interesting whiskey, Bo. It really is. Belfour, I think this is going to be a polarizing whiskey, but I rather like it. It's got a raw taste to it. It not an unsophisticated taste. It just kind of tastes gruff. It's something that reminds me of something that my grandfather would have really enjoyed. You know, just kind of rough around the edges, but brilliant. I think it's really good. And of course, Belfour, who obviously hockey star and has some resources, but also happens to be a spirits nerd and kind of dives off into this as a second career. I think he's got some pretty good juice here. It's a classic case of a whiskey enthusiast turned distiller into kind of a new career, but I think it's good stuff.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, man, I like the pecan finish. Like there's almost like a cinnamon, like a hint of cinnamon that you kind of pull out from it, or at least that I do. And I'm sure that kind of comes from that pecan finish, and it's really good. It surprised me. It very much surprised me for all the reasons you just gave, which is when I picked up the bottle, I was assuming a very different kind of experience, something that was a little bit more ritzy and smooth, I suppose,
but bougie. I have to say, in the pipe tobacco world, you know, we're all, because of the tins and how collectible they are and how attractive they are, we're all in some sense tied to like the artwork and the connectivity of, you know, the packaging to the product and everything. And yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, that doesn't affect me as much as it does, but but it does. And man, this bottle is like, it's like if F. Scott Fitzgerald could design a bottle that was for the Great Gatsby.
Exactly.
It'd be this bottle.
Man.
It's so cool. I feel like, you know, we should be like on the top of the Empire State Building or something, you know, just like in the, you know, roaring 20s or the 1930s with this this beautiful bottle. It's very, very elegant.
It's like, it's almost as if you could take the entire, like, just if Art Deco was glass, it would be this bottle.
Yeah.
Like that is what you're looking at. And I mean, like it is an absolutely beautiful bottle. And it is the main reason why it stood out to me. I mean, I was walking by it. It's a showstopper. You look at it, you pick it up, and it's great. It's got, of course, the eagle that's on it, which is a reference to, of course, its nickname. But even the eagle is done up in that Art Deco style. The texture of the bottle is kind of like these almost little pyramid type of feel if you run your finger over it.
Yeah, I forget what they call that. It's like almost like a peccary finish or something. It's got these dimples all over the bottle. It's just very tactile. It's something that you want to touch because it's got this kind of outside texture to it.
That's right, man. It's hefty. It makes you feel like you don't want to drop this because it's not cheap, and it's not cheap. It is going to be a little bit more of expensive, ranging anywhere from, you know, around $90, but it's delicious. And as I mentioned before, it does have a very unique flavor. So John David, I'm very curious as to what, when you sipped on this, when you were able to kind of experience this, what pipe tobacco was really speaking to you?
Well, okay. First off, I do have to mention to the point. So they, you know, they finished this with pecan wood. And when I was doing research, you know, you get on, first place you go is their website, and you start digging around. Okay, well, how did they describe it? What, you know, if the manufacturer themselves of anything, what are they saying? And then what are other people saying? Right. And so they say it's finished with pecan wood. And then they start the description on their website by talking about a 300-year-old pecan tree on their ranch. And before I read the rest of that paragraph, I thought to myself, did they cut down a 300-year-old pecan tree? And I kind of got angry. And then I read the rest of the paragraph and realized that no, they did not do that, which is really good. So what they've done here is they've aged the whiskey in white oak barrels, but then later in the process, they've added these staves of pecan wood, which is just really interesting. And I think this is a polarizing spirit. It's one of those that, you know, if you're thinking about just a classic bourbon taste that kind of features that corn sweetness, I think, you know, you don't go into it with that concept. But after tasting this, it's not as polarizing, though, as, you know, a lot of these high-end whiskeys now are finished in like a sherry cask or finished in a like a port barrel or something like that. And it doesn't have that kind of sweetness to it. It's got like a graham cracker kind of note.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
It's it's really interesting. Yeah, I quite liked it. It's a slight sweetness on the nose, and then of course the taste for me, the initial palate, you get brown sugar, allspice, a little butterscotch, and then of course that that woodiness that you would expect from the pecan wood that I think leans in more towards that kind of brown sugar element that's there, and then the finish, for me was kind of a vanilla nougat, and so. Really enjoyed that. I will say my wife despised it. She was like, that's disgusting.
I wanted a cup of tea.
But this is one of those that I really enjoyed and thought would be good for not just a change up, but like some of these whiskeys that we review, I'm like, well, that's interesting. Like they, put this whiskey in a pickled jar and, aged it, and you might drink that once every 3 years, but like this is something that I could see myself regularly drinking,
Right.
I wanted to pair it with something that might bring out more of the full-bodied nature that you might think of with a bourbon, something that rounds it out a little more, takes some of those gruff, rougher edges that I referred to earlier and kind of just smooths them out just a little bit. But I wanted something thick and meaty that was a substantial tobacco that would augment the flavors of the Belfour and not compete too much with it. So I went with a very high-quality tobacco, one that I've had in my cellar for quite a while, and it's GLP's Kensington. Of course, Greg Peace, one of the, our favorite blenders, and, he developed Kensington years ago. I think it's almost a 20-year-old blend now, but medium-bodied Balkan-style blend. We've got Orientals, Turkish tobaccos, bright and red Virginia leaves, and then of course, Latakia. He kind of refers to this as a milder, medium to mild Balkan-style blend. So it's got the roundedness and the full mouthfeel of an English blend, but it's a little on the milder side. And so for me, as you know, if you've listened to the show a long time, I don't smoke a whole lot of English style blends. And so for me, any amount of Latakia tends to be like, pretty full bodied. But I do think this is very approachable, and it's something that's just very smokable for all day. And even for someone like me that has a really nice, sophisticated palate to it, it just adds a little sophistication and depth, I think, to the experience of the pecan finished bourbon from Belfour. And anyway, it was a good pairing. I really enjoyed it.
That's pretty good.
I just realized too, we didn't clink our glasses and all that.
No,
man.
Well,
it kind of grieves me.
All right, yeah. So I hate to say it, but like I guess I'll pull.
You don't have your glass, do you?
Well, I had already. All right, so I'll pull the curtain back and say, John David, I had like a little business meeting beforehand, and I may have drunken this one.
Oh, you drank it all.
So if I
turkey. All right. Well, I'm gonna sit here and just drink this for you then.
Yeah,
cheers, Doug.
Cheers. There we go. We got a little bit of a clink. I just clinked my test tube with a can, with a seltzer can. All right. So
that's funny.
What I love about this is, as we've acknowledged here, the Belfour, like the big benefit of this is the marketing and the branding, which I think it speaks to the fact that they were, not that they're not proud of their owner. The name is right there on the name of the name of the whiskey. But that they were kind of going with a certain kind of feel that doesn't exactly communicate, Dallas hockey, right?
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could have easily gone with that. I mean, Ed Belfour, we're talking about a World Hockey Hall of Fame inductee,
yeah,
right? I mean, this
yeah.
is someone that, spent decades in the league and, played in several markets. Very well accomplished. And so, I mean, they could have leaned into that more, but I'm kind of glad they didn't. And even on their website, you see the eagle here and there, and there's little elements of it on the bottle. But this is something that the focus is on the whiskey. It's on the product. And I think it's a product, that stands alone really, really well. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's the thing, right, though? It's about the marketing. It's about the marketing
no,
that
right.
gets your attention and communicates you're dealing with something that is high quality, or at least is presenting itself as high quality, and seeks to rise to that challenge that it makes when it first, it makes a promise with your eyes that it seeks to capitalize on, to clinch with the taste. That is what Belfour has done. And in a similar fashion, let's switch over to the next one we have this week, which is Puncher's Chance. Now,
I don't even know where to start I mean, I don't even know.
Let me try to, before I know exactly where to start.
This is really something.
That's exactly right. I need to cast your mind back, man, to a couple months back when I was kind of stocking up and kind of advanced for the year. We had been through some things, you know, obviously we as a country, and in fact, a planet had been through some things. And then here in the South, we had been through an extremely quick ice age. And you know, after all of that was said and done, we in our neighborhood had a tiger. We had a Bengal tiger.
Oh, that's right.
Living in our neighborhood that was
owned. This made national news. I forgot we had mentioned this on the show. Yeah, there was a loose, was it like escaped from someone's home?
A serial killer.
Tiger?
A serial killer. Yeah. John David. We had a pet tiger owned by, well, I don't know if he was a serial killer, but he was wanted for murder. Anyway, point is, we had this dude, you know, and when he wasn't killing people, he was taking care of his pet tiger, which he felt very, you know, connected to.
Only in Texas.
And not, to be clear, Texas is a big state. This was my neighborhood.
Right.
like right. And I made that
like
clear
the tiger
enough.
Was on your, like down the street from you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I got it. Yeah. Like, and okay. That's the funny thing is that I made it, you know, I tried to like dance around that a little bit when the episode came out, but then Brian Levine just like texted me the name of my neighborhood. And I was like, all right, well, I wasn't being that. Yeah. So anyway, point is that after that same week was the week that I was stocking up on the whiskey. And here I am. I'm walking through and I see, you know, these beautiful bottles. We've got some great, you know, we got the rum that we've already done. We've got some great stuff coming before the end of the year that also is from that that kind of stocking up. But you know, and I see this beautiful Art Deco bottle that I'm like, oh my goodness, we got to try this. And then I see Puncher's Chance. And to say trying too hard. You know what? No, that's not it. That's not it. You remember Sex Panther from Anchorman? Can I say that on this show? I think I can say that on this show.
I think you can. Yeah. I think you can. Let's just clarify. Now, Anchorman, the epic award-winning movie that we all know and love, that they referred to a
cologne.
It was a cologne, and it was called Sex Panther, and you know, it had a certain mystique about it, and so the bottle of Puncher's Chance kind of leans into that.
Everything about it communicates Sex Panther. Like it's you know, you've got this big, like it's a black kind of like,
it's a tiger.
Old school.
It's a tiger.
No, it's a tiger that's on it, but like the bottle itself is kind of like this, you know, if you think about like a pirate holding like a thing of rum, like an old school like jug of rum type. It's that kind of shape, and it's black, but not the glass black. Like this is like a plastic
like a
wrap.
Matte,
yeah.
Yeah. Like a matte black kind of almost like a vinyl kind of thing.
And right down the side of it is a Bengal tiger who is ready to pounce. This looks like if Michael Bay was a bourbon, this is what we're talking about. This is Puncher's Chance. And so I'm curious. Did you taste it or did you look it up first? I'm just curious.
No, I tried it. This was great. Prepping for this episode was fun this week. My wife and I were fortunate enough. It just the right timing. I was at just the right point where I was going to start prepping for the podcast, and she had just gotten the kids down to bed, and it was like in the evening where we both actually had some free time at the same time. And I was like, well, you want to try these whiskeys with me, and we could kind of compare notes, and you know, it gets her involved in the show, and you know, kind of bouncing ideas off each other and all that kind of stuff. And of course, that this would happen on the week where, you know, we would get Puncher's Chance, you know, these top shelf whiskeys. And and I have the look on her face, like of just utter disgust. Like it I don't know, man. I mean, it was one of those things. And I, you know me, I'm more diplomatic, and my wife is more, she's the left-brained one that's, you know, just, you know, okay, well, let's get the truth out there then, you know, and move on to the next thing. Like, you know, we're very right or left-brained, you know, A plus B equals C. This makes sense. And I'm the one that's like, well, let's talk about the feelings and emotions, and well, maybe they were going for this, and maybe they were going for that, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't. There was nothing I could give it. Like, It's something. It is really something. You know, I just want to quote this from their website.
Oh, good. All right. I have this written down too, but go for it. Go for it.
Well, there's so much to quote from their website.
And go to their website, by the way, because the website is like, yes, everything that we're talking about in terms of the visuals is communicated in the website. So please, yes.
Puncherschancebourbon.com, but it is, quote, inspired by two great American traditions, whiskey and fighting for what we believe. And it definitely makes me want to fight.
Mission accomplished.
It definitely makes me want to fight. So they explicitly say that the inspiration behind this, because what puncher's chance, like, what does that even mean? Like, what is that? Like, what a puncher's chance? Okay, you're punching, and well, you've got a chance at maybe landing a good hit or something.
I figured if you punched the tiger, then you have a chance of surviving. Is that not
okay? They explicitly said that the inspiration behind the debut of Puncher's Chance was, are you ready for it?
Hit me.
Mike Tyson.
Boom!
I don't know. Let's talk about the flavor a little bit, right? We want to give it a fair enough shot. I went into this. I didn't see the artwork. I didn't see the bottle. I just drank the product. They say it's bourbon, and so I'll just believe them. They say it's 75% corn, 13% rye, and 12% barley. The nose on it is very pleasant. It has a very pleasant nose. It's got that, you know, cinnamon sugar nose to it.
Yeah.
That's just very, very pleasant. Your initial palate, it's mild.
Wow. You're being really okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There are a few caramel notes with some almond flavor.
Sure. Almond extract. Yeah.
And then it just devolves into this sourness, and the sourness lingers. The finish is incredibly long, and it just, that sourness just lingers on your tongue. And it's not the back of your tongue. It's not the front of your tongue. It's just kind of your whole mouth.
Yeah. If I may, to quote Anchorman, it stings the nostrils.
It does sting the nostrils.
It is a potent flavor. I've got to tell you, that tastes awful.
You go digging around the internet and you see, okay, well, I think this is absolutely terrible. And so you start, you know, kind of trolling around for, not trolling, but, you know, you're seeking around for what are other people saying?
Yeah, like,
you
know? who's the person who's saying this is good? Sure, yeah.
And there are some people out there that are, and they swear that they have not been paid by the brand to say these things. And so that's great, you know. Puncher's Chance, they say it's a blend of 4, 5, and 6-year-old whiskeys made in the heart of Kentucky. It's kind of elusive on, you know, who's bottling this stuff and everything. It is made at Wolf, or made by Wolf Spirit Distillery, based in Eugene, Oregon, which is a newer distillery. It was founded in 2017, and then the Puncher's Chance came out in the middle of COVID last year, with Mike Tyson being its inspiration. So I'm wondering if maybe the sourness is like Evander Holyfield's ear. Like, is that? Or, you know, I just don't know where they're going with this. I sat there and tried it with my wife, and she looks at me and she says, "You're going to talk about this on your podcast?"
Okay. So this is the thing, though. I think this is great, because this we're expanding people's palates, John.
No,
David.
That's right. That's like, exactly this, right.
It's good. By the way, I love that it's inspired by Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, who, like, you know, signed his name to, oh no, he won't sign his name to anything. But I mean, like, this is proof of it. He won't sign his name to anything. But that's hilarious. Yeah, you know, I wanted to give you a challenge and see what you would do with the really bad whiskey. I want to say that was my plan all along, but it's not. I saw a tiger. We just had a tiger, and I wanted to get the tiger bourbon. And then as soon as I drank it, I thought, why? Why did I? What? No. I need to do research before buying these things.
I tell you, man, it was tough. It was. We couldn't. I couldn't finish the drink.
No, I have never in the history of Squire Select gotten a message from you before the episode,
right,
questioning what on earth was going on.
No. I think my exact verbatim thing I said was, did someone give this to you?
Right.
Because if one of our listeners gave this to you, I was just. I didn't want to. I didn't want to pounce. I didn't want to tiger pounce so hard. You know what I mean? But you bought this on with your own money, on your own volition, from your own poor judgment, and so I feel comfortable in saying it's just awful.
It's rough. It's rough. If you're going to drink it on ice. In fact, what you need to do, this is exactly what you do. You pour it, get some ice in a glass to chill the glass. You pour it over that ice. Then you strain the puncher's chance out of the glass, and then you just chew on the ice. And then, there you go. That's how you drink it.
Yeah, we happen to have, it's so hard to get your hands on Buffalo Trace nowadays, and we happen to have a bottle at the house. I was able to get my hands on not too long ago, and as soon as we downed this stuff, I went and chased it with Buffalo Trace. I was like, I have to swish it with a little bit of water and then try to get this out of my mouth. It was just, look, if you try this and you like it, we want to hear from you.
We want to.
Not in a judgmental way. Like, I want to know why you like this. Like, help me understand the palate that would enjoy Puncher's Chance. Yeah. I paired this with a tobacco that I know stands alone in its own right and is strong enough to cover over everything bad in the world.
Interesting. All right. So there were two ways I thought you would take that, and that was certainly one of them. So what did you choose?
Yeah. I mean, I could have gone the route of like, okay, well, how do you pick something equally just
trash
double
for trash.
Down on it.
Exactly.
I mean, it's almost like, you're, the something that's so bad. It's like, I don't know. Just it's either do you look at the train wreck and buy into it, or do you try to redeem and go in that direction? So we went in that direction. Man, I went with Howl of the Wind from Rattray's. Howl of the Wind, of course. It's just a great tobacco. Been around a long time. Rattray's over the years, of course, has been a little harder to get. As it's had a little bit of a scarcity made by Kohlhaas in Germany. Howl of the Wind is unusually strong, Virginia-based mixture. Fire-cured Kentuckys are added to a base of Virginias, and Perique completes the mixture, and then it's pressed and hand-rubbed apart. And it's just a great tobacco. It's one of those that, like I said, it might be a little harder for you to get your hands on nowadays. It's not esoterica hard, but it certainly is not, just sitting on the shelf all the time. And it's a great tobacco. This is something that has a little bit, I think, to offer everybody. It's a relatively full-bodied tobacco that has a strong room note to it. And so I wanted something that would kind of take over and just be redemptive in every way possible. And so it's a really good tobacco, Howl of the Wind. It's powerful, it's bright and spicy with a lingering note of dark fruit, which I think anytime you have that dark stone fruit, it does a good job of kind of overpowering, kind of in a silky way, just kind of taking over your palate in a way that kind of coats your tongue. And so I really appreciated that in this experience. The main thing, it's an excellent tobacco with a very distinctive taste, kind of helped me recover. So
I love it, man. The funny thing is I'm still drinking this thing, and part of it's just like, it's here, so try for it.
I can't finish it. I really can't.
It's a rough one, man. It really is. Something. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, though. I'm proud of you taking the high road on this. Like, it's good.
It's the Country Squire way, We take the high road.
More often than not, but occasionally we do double in the hamster cage. So I wanted to tee you up and see what happens. So that worked out pretty well. Yep. Well, hey, that's our thoughts on these pairings. Let us know your thoughts. And again, like John David said, if you think that we dogged your home, your cabinet bourbon of choice, whatever it is that you drink on a regular, if you are like a puncher's chance, loyalist, educate us, let us know. Never let it, first of all, everything's subjective. Second of all, never let us hate on what you love. Set your case. We will not troll you. We will troll your beverage, but we will not troll you. That is absolutely true.
Your Mike Tyson inspired bourbon.
Yeah. Mike Tyson has inspired some great things. This is not one of them. All right. Man, speaking of great things, I want to tell people about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. We love talking about Missouri Meerschaum every single week because they're an important part of what makes this show tick. We're so happy, of course, to continue to talk and promote their Old Dominion clay pipes, which have become such a big hit since they've merged with Missouri Meerschaum and are now available from the Missouri Meerschaum online store. If you go to corncobpipe.com, you can buy your own Old Dominion clay pipes. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that I've talked about clay being the perfect material along with a corncob or a meerschaum to try the distinctive tobacco flavors to get the pure flavor of the tobacco itself, especially when I'm working on a new blend. I'm often popping them in a clay pipe in order to really taste the nuances without any distraction. And so they just do a good job with that. Very inexpensive. Go to corncobpipe.com and they'll ship Old Dominion clay pipe right to your front door.
There you go. And hey, when you get one, be sure to take a picture of it and tweet it out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week. This week coming in from Wilson, aka the Spurgeon Piper, who writes in saying, "Hey, Bo and John David, question for the show. What is a blend that has left an impression on you, whether good or bad? Several blends have been ingrained in mind for both wonderful and not so wonderful reasons." Ooh, that could be like a show, honestly. Like, this is a great question. So thank you guys so much for what you do and regularly point to you guys to answer some of these questions. Be blessed. And again, that is Wilson, aka the Spurgeon Piper. All right, this is a great question.
It ingrained in my mind for different reasons. I don't really have a pipe tobacco that is ingrained in my mind for not wonderful reasons, although it seems like I should. I mean, there's tobaccos that I don't like at all. I mean, I'll never ever again smoke is it Lakeland Dark from Samuel Gaywith? Like, I'll never smoke that again. Like, if I want to taste that, I'll go to Bath and Body Works and crack open a bottle of shampoo. Like, that's just what I'll do. So, Samuel Gaywith, Black XX, if I want to taste that, I'll go lick the grizzle off the bottom of the barbecue grill.
That sounds delicious. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you are missing part of your brain, maybe. there is that, but I can't really think of though, like, ingrained for not so wonderful experiences. I guess those would come to mind if I just really don't like the flavor of them. But I've talked about a lot of the same blends over and over the years as I've enjoyed them. Built my the fence in my backyard smoking Orlick Golden Sliced, and of course went through a phase right after I kind of got real healthy mentally and spiritually, where I smoked a whole lot of the Vowin Tobacco number 14, their Virginia Flake. Just so precious to me in a lot of ways. One that comes to mind, though, that I haven't mentioned in a while is Deception Pass from Seattle Pipe Club. And it's a great tobacco. It's a good tobacco for Virginia lovers, for folks that like a mild blend with just a dash of Perique. And I guess, you say mild, it's probably more medium bodied, but it's a blend that comes to mind right after the Chicago Pipe Show a few years ago. I got back home and I just had all these beautiful pipes, and it was really pretty weather. It was kind of, springtime in Jackson. It was one of those days. And I just have this vivid memory of sitting on my front porch at the time, just enjoying Deception Pass in this big claw meerschaum that I bought and at the show, and that's one of those like singular moments that just as a pipe smoker you just come back to. A lot of times I think pipe smoking is kind of. Do you play golf, Bo? I don't. You don't play golf, do you?
No, I mean I've dabbled, but no, not on.
Yeah,
any kind of
okay. The golf is just terrible.
Oh yeah, it's the worst.
Golf is awful. Like that, there's the worst things I've ever said in my life have been either on the golf course or during the Egg Bowl every year at Thanksgiving. But one thing about golf, though, they say about golf is what keeps you roped into golf is that one hit that you make, that one stroke that's perfect. And you could go out there and hit 50 different, you know, strokes, but you hit that one ball one time and it's so perfect, even if it's a total fluke, that's the one that keeps you coming back. And sitting on that front porch, not that pipe smoking is like difficult like golf or anything, but like, you know, sitting on that front porch and smoking that tobacco on that day, the Deception Pass out of that specific pipe, that's a memory in my mind. It was so good and so pure, and the moment was so right that that's something I say to myself, like, oh no, that's why I like a pipe. I remember that specific, that day wasn't, you know, particularly important for anything. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't any kind of big event that was happening, but I remember that bowl being so good that I come back to that tobacco over and over, and I say, that's the reason I smoke a pipe. So I'll submit that to you.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. I've got two positive, and I guess I'll save my negative because it's giving me ideas for the future. And even the positive one, I'm kind of thinking like, man, maybe this is a future Valentine's Day special to all the pipe tobaccos we've loved before or something like that. But I got to tell you, so two of them come to mind. One is, and I don't know the name of it, but it was a pumpkin vanilla blend that was given to me. And I like when I was in Vegas many years ago, I believe it was Hock to the Love Doctor. We met up at like a restaurant in and around Vegas, and he brought some different pipe tobaccos for me to try from his cellar. And one of them was just the most bizarre thing. And it was, like I said, this pumpkin vanilla spice. And like to say spice isn't not even right per se, because it was really almost more of like a candy type of, you know, flavor profile on the palate wheel, you know?
Yep.
And it was fantastic. And it was really, really good. It sounds terrible. You know, there's no way you can say like pumpkin vanilla and pipe tobacco together and think anything good can come from it.
Yeah. But, and I'm going to make it my mission to find the tobacco you're talking about, because I remember you coming home from that and having met with Hochter and him giving you that tobacco, and it's from a shop, and I've got to try to remember the name of that shop. It's from a shop that's relatively well known, and they produce that tobacco. It's I'm gonna circle back to it, and I'm hoping before the end of the episode I'll be able to call it.
Yeah, like Sleepy Hollow maybe, or Headless Horseman or something like that.
I think it might have been Sleepy Hollow.
That might be it. I just remember, you know. Anyway, it was really good, and I was just shocked. I remember it's one of those tobaccos that kind of changed me to some extent. Like, I was like, huh? Because I mean, it's not like I didn't like aromatics before. I've enjoyed aromatics. I just never had an aromatic like that before. And it was just such a bizarre and
that
delicious.
Was it. It was that's right. I don't know why this lost me. Of course, Strauss Tobacconist, a very well-known tobacconist in the upper Midwest and in Ohio, Columbus. But Sleepy Hollow, of course, their cinnamon spice blend, notes of pumpkin, warm bread, mild vanilla with a finish of pumpkin. It's something that you definitely ought to try from them if you get the chance to. Yeah. And I had totally forgotten that, but I remember that experience. You came home from that and you were like, that's one of those times where you recommitted to pipe smoking. You know?
it's like interesting. But that's the thing, like in terms of aromatics, that's what kind of like woke me up a little bit in terms of aromatics. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And there was an English as well, but maybe that's a topic for the future, because I need to look it back up. It was a Nat Sherman and it was a number, and there's no way I could regurgitate it. But
there was
a Nat Sherman English blend that really just absolutely made me realize, oh, I like English. I'm not just an aromatic smoker. This is fascinating, which was really good. But no, and the other one in terms of like really positive memories is Rivendell, man. I was like just for Hobbit Day, I was busting out my Rivendell, and I actually did a live, a YouTube live. And by the way, thanks to everybody who was able to tune in for that. It was very spur of the moment. And we had a great, great little showing and getting to connect with folks. And man, I was smoking that, and I was kind of, you know, keeping in that aromatic tradition. I was like, man, I forgot this was chocolatey. I forgot this had cocoa in it. I was like, man. And part of me was wondering, A, you know, did I just never know this? Or B, has my palate finally gotten to the place where I'm now able to pull out things that early on I could not identify? You know what I mean? Because it's been a minute since I've smoked Rivendell.
I bet there's some of both. Yeah, I bet there is a sense in which, you know, your palate's become a little more sophisticated, and maybe you know never knew that it had that cocoa element in there. Rivendell, of course, one of our house blends that we make. It's a burley Cavendish mixture that's lightly cased, and it has a really, really I love the ingredients we work with on Rivendell, particularly the burley. It's a fun tobacco to work with, but we are very delicate in how we case that tobacco, and it's got a just a really nice kind of baking cocoa topping on there that's just very pleasant and really does evoke like a nice sweet bread or something. So good. I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah, man. And don't mishear me. I'm not comparing these two tobacco. Because if you hear the pumpkin spice, it'd be like, oh, you like that? And then you're like, well, I'm not going to like Rivendell. No, you'll love Rivendell. Everybody loves Rivendell. Like, it's a fantastic pipe tobacco. And honestly, the other one, I really encourage people to pick up some Sleepy Hollow if you're able to get your hands on it. Just to try it. Because it's so very different.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had it. I need to see if I can get my hands on some again and try it. But of course, Strauss Tobacconist, well known pipe shop up in the Ohio area. So be sure to check them out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great question. I mean, honestly,
yeah, from the Spurgeon Piper too, man. Long time friend of the show, and man, we appreciate you writing in.
Absolutely. Well, hey, if you've got a question for us, be sure to send it in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right. Mm-hmm. so this first one actually comes in from a new Pipe Club member, Mark Fulmer. Fulmer. What did I say? Mike. I called him Mike Milner. Filmer earlier.
Where do you get this stuff from?
Because Mjolnir, the dyslexic mind is really a chaotic place. Yeah, it's very dangerous.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now,
this is from Mark, of course, New Pilgrim and supporter of the show. He says, I have enjoyed your podcast a long time. The knowledge you share has allowed me to develop my enjoyment of the pipe. Started smoking a pipe as a freshman in college. I enjoyed it, but stopped. I did not know how much. I did not have the patience to learn. I picked it up again a few years ago about the time I found your podcast. You gave me the skills and better understanding of how to appreciate fine tobacco. I was prompted to pick my pipe up again due to what I was teaching. He says he's a professor of psychology, discussing neuro enhancements. I presented the current research, and nicotine is a more powerful neuro enhancer than most, if not all, other compounds. I decided to listen to myself and try my pipe again. I'm glad I did. And thank you. And again, that is from Mark Fulmer.
Yeah, man, Mark, thanks for the feedback. And of course, thanks for, joining the Pipe Club over at Patreon as well. So many of the negative, we associate nicotine as a negative thing. A lot of the nicotine itself is not as much the problem as the carcinogens that go with tobacco smoke, and that's why the key is so important with the pipe. That I'm not going to sit here and say it's good for you like taking vitamins, but right, but right, yeah. But you're not inhaling the smoke, and that's the where nicotine comes into play, is that you get addicted to the smoking process, and so therefore do it more, and then the carcinogens are in your lungs more, which make it worse and worse. So it's a sick cycle. But with the pipe, you have much less of that, because you're not inhaling the smoke. The exposure to nicotine is so much less in your mouth and that kind of thing. So and nicotine in itself is a interesting stimulant. There's some interesting research done around that, this neuro enhancer kind of concept that you've much more about than I ever will. But so anyway, that's great, man. Thank you for writing in. We appreciate that,
man. The pipe in academia, that might be something to think about for a future pipe culture exploration.
That's
interesting. We've had a couple of different professors kind of message into the show lately, so it might be something kind of cool there. Okay. Well, hey, thank you so much for this. And hey, if you've got some listener feedback for the show, head over to email us at show@countrysquireradio.com. You can, of course, keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow John David at John David Cole, or the shop at _countrysquire, or the show at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. John David Cole, we have drunken some good whiskey, and we have drunken some not good whiskey, but you have somehow managed to pair them both with some fine pipe tobacco, and for I tip my hat to you, sir.
I hope it was a worthy effort, but we did try and enjoyed the experience and lived to talk about it, so that was great.
Well, all right, well, there you go. Hey, let us the night is young. But hey, man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.